it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everyone. Hour two, Toker Talk Radio is in effect. Glad to have you here. We're continuing on with an extended rant here about the collusion. Finally, the open and unflinching collusion between the medical marijuana profiteers in California. Some of them, let me be fair, not all of them. There's plenty of people that are medical marijuana patients and providers. Plenty of them, probably the vast majority of them, that are intelligent enough to see that legalization is in their best interest. Now, there's just a few, a tiny fringe minority of these medical marijuana profiteers that want to keep the status quo. They want to keep California quasi-legal. They love medical marijuana. The reason they love it so much is because the way medical marijuana is set up in California, it's just illegal enough to keep the price at $300 an ounce, but it's just legal enough that you can still have a viable customer base and not have to fear going to prison. So why would you want to change that? If you're a medical marijuana profiteer, if you're a doctor who's making bank on writing your signature for permission slips, you got a monopoly on that. You got a guaranteed set of customers that are going to be coming through the door every day. If you're a dispensary in your area that's kind of set up the domination of that market in your particular region, why would you want more capitalized competition? Of course not, right? So these people are just, in most cases, rent-seeking when you talk about the business aspects. And the sad part is that there's a lot of these patients now that are listening to them, listening to these profiteers, and being confused and fooled by people like Letitia Pepper that string together some correlations and put together some of the text taken out of context or only half represented to frighten people about the end of medical marijuana if we legalize, and to steer them away from what is in their own best interest. These medical marijuana patients who want to talk to me about compassion, the compassionate providers under Prop 215 who are helping the patients out of compassion, that compassion is costing you $300 an ounce. That compassion is costing you $12, $15, $18 a gram. Now, up here in Oregon, where we have medical and recreational marijuana, somehow our evil corporations and terrible big marijuana business interests that just want to make a buck are selling the same marijuana at half the price or three quarters of the price with the tax included. So what is better for the patients, having to spend $300 an ounce under medical or having to spend $150 to $200 an ounce under recreational? But this is a phenomenon that's been going on since 2010, since the Prop 19 campaign. And up to this point, it's always just been kind of coincidental
Like, the cops are against it because it's law enforcement, and the rehabs are against it because it hurts their client base, and Kevin Sabet and those guys are against it because they got, you know, friends in big pharma that don't want to see it passed. And then the medical marijuana people didn't want it passed. Usually their justification is their fear that it is going to end medical marijuana. And that had always been kind of known. I mean, we knew these people all wanted to vote on the same side, but it just happened to be coincidental. But not anymore. No, this series of emails that we've uncovered between Letitia Pepper and Kevin Sabet and Anna Boyce and Richard Eastman and others is the smoking gun that shows that medical marijuana providers, medical marijuana attorneys, medical marijuana consultants, medical marijuana profiteers, and again, not all of them, but some of them are actively working with our enemies to maintain the prohibition that puts us in cages for growing cannabis. And shame on them for their collusion if they really, really want to stand up for the patients. How can they stand next to the guy who wants to ensure that none of them can grow cannabis and that none of them can have access to whole plant cannabis buds? That's what Kevin Sabet and Project Sam stand for, Letitia Pepper, Richard Eastman, Anna Boyce. They're the ones that would repeal Prop 215 if they could. And you want to tell me Prop 64 is going to do it? And for you to have this, to be on your high horse about medical marijuana, when Kevin Sabet is one of these people that says smoked marijuana isn't medicine, is just abominable. It's just terrible who you've allied yourself with. Now, as we continue this, and by the way, you can read up on this at weednews.co. I've got the post up right now and with links to various various parts of these emails. The we had talked about in the first hour about how Letitia Pepper was contacted and Richard Eastman and some others were contacted by Kevin Sabet. Kevin Sabet's trying to recruit medical marijuana voices in California to oppose Prop 64. And they responded. Letitia Pepper kind of took the initiative to respond and start to recruit others, and had sent this email out to DeJay Couty from the Patient Advocacy Network. She had Richard Eastman, Sean Kiernan from Weed for Warriors Project, Humboldt Grace, one of the consulting firms, and Anna T. Boyce, a registered nurse who was one of the Prop 64 co-authors. Now, this is where it gets very interesting, folks, because these people, Boyce, Eastman, who are standing with Kevin Sabet, are people who have been victims of Kevin Sabet's actions, or at least what Kevin Sabet stands for. Richard Eastman is a Santa Monica medical marijuana dispensary owner. In 2007, the DEA raided his dispensary. And Richard Eastman is standing with the guy who approves of those raids, is standing with the guy who is fighting to maintain that federal war on drugs that enables the DEA to raid medical marijuana patients. So don't tell me you're standing up for medical marijuana patients when you're standing next to the guy who wants to see them raided and wants to see the prohibition continue that allows them to be raided, and not just in California, but throughout the entire United States. You are supporting a man who supports the prohibition that guarantees that patients in red states die without medical cannabis. You must be proud, Richard Eastman. And Anna T. Boyce, the registered nurse who was a co-author of Prop 215, she responded in the email thread saying, quote, as the author, and this is the quote that she wants to give to Project Sam to be able to use in their propaganda, quote, as the author of the first bill for medical marijuana in 1991 and 1992 that reached Governor Wilson's desk but were vetoed, I have always fought against recreational use of this medication and still do. This is a medicine and must always be remembered that is what it should be used for, end quote. Yeah, right, Nurse Boyce. And so I suppose those of us that are not using it in a way you approve of deserve to be put in cages and have our families devastated and lose all our assets and have a black mark on our record for life that affects our ability to get jobs, education, housing, medical transplants, and so forth. Yeah, that's some great Hippocratic oath there, Nurse Boyce. Oh, and by the way, it seems odd that you're suddenly against Prop 64 when just this last May, you were interviewed in the Orange County Register saying, quote, "Legalizing it will finally take away the drug stigma and give medical marijuana patients the access they need. If it's the only way that we can get some success, some assistance, I'm going to have to vote for it." End quote. Just last May, you could see the common sense in legalizing marijuana to remove the stigma that plagues medical marijuana patients to this day. Apparently, Letitia and some of the others have fooled you into thinking that Prop 64 is going to end Prop 215, which it does not. Now, this was all on Saturday that these last few emails were taking place. On Sunday, Pepper was following up on the requests, and she was noting that their little strange bedfellows arrangement with the Project Sam group, whose ideal medical marijuana policy is corporate manufacture and distribution of non-smoked cannabinoid pharmaceuticals. Keep that in mind. Letitia Pepper wants to base her entire paranoid, batshit crazy Hail Mary argument on this idea that somehow Prop 64 is going to destroy Prop 215, so the big pharmaceutical corporations, of which George Soros is this massive shareholder, the big pharmaceutical corporations want to have Prop 64 legalized to destroy 15 so they can get you to buy more pills when 64 allows you to grow six cannabis plants in your home and the state can't ban it. Yeah, Big Pharma somehow has cooked this up, right? So if your big fear is that Big Pharma is going to take over the cannabinoid market, how can you stand with Kevin Sabet and Project Sam, whose very existence is predicated on the idea that marijuana, smoked marijuana, is not a medicine and that it should be run through the FDA, run through pharmacies, run as a scheduled drug, that nobody should have access to that plant? That's who you're standing with, Letitia. And she says in her Sunday morning email, quote, "Have you decided if your name can be on a press release saying the anti-marijuana people like Sam and medical marijuana patients do not see eye to eye on all marijuana policies, but we are in agreement that we oppose Prop 64? So that's the Sunday follow-up. According to the Zinmeister draft that I received a copy of, the press conferences referred to are supposed to take place tomorrow in San Diego, Wednesday in West Hollywood, and Thursday in San Francisco. So I reached out to some of my colleagues in drug law reform to get their comments on this. The inimitable Tom Angel from Marijuana Majority, also writes at marijuana.com, noted that the recent polls show this, quote, "strange coalition of unseemly bedfellows," end quote, is likely to lose on election day, and adds, quote, "I wonder if they will actually follow through and team up to create the sort of non-commercial decriminalization of marijuana possession they've given lip service to supporting." Of course, he's talking about the perennial, you know, tilter initiatives, treat it like tomatoes that never get the signatures, never make the ballot. He continues, quote, "Will their money be where their mouths are? Or are they just trying to stop legalization at any cost and are willing to say whatever they think it takes?" End quote. I also reached out to Amanda Ryman. She's the manager of marijuana law and policy at the Drug Policy Alliance, which, of course, is a major donor and proponent of Prop 64. And she told me of her personal experience with the confrontational and disruptive tactics of both Letitia Pepper and Sean Kiernan from Weed for Warriors. She reports, quote, "Last week, some veterans who support 64 and I held an event at the Marin Veterans Auditorium. We heard that some of the Weed for Warriors folks, who are opposed to Prop 64, might come out, but I was confident that they would not disrespect their fellow veterans for standing up for their beliefs." Okay. They did show and brought Letitia Pepper with them. She videoed us making our statements, calling us liars and traitors, and encouraging the others to do the same. Many of those standing with me have PTSD. One almost passed out due to the badgering. Then, when he had to sit down, they made fun of him for that. One of the ladies involved with us felt so harassed that she was afraid to walk to her car alone afterwards. It was shameful and detracted from their message of support, which they have every right to give. It made me mad as a social worker to see vets treated this way. End quote. And of course, I can corroborate personally the description of Pepper's and Kiernan's behavior, for I was on a debate panel at the State House earlier this month in Sacramento supporting Prop 64. As I described it in my article on High Times Online, Fear and Loathing in Sacramento, quote, "The loathing kicked in almost every time I would respond to one of the fears with reason backed by evidence. Audience members, usually the vets, would shout over me while I was talking, becoming belligerent enough that law enforcement had to calm them. The two non-Sanders panelists," by the way, one of those being Sean Kiernan, "directly insulted me, called me a carpetbagger, made a joke about my mother, and impugned my integrity by saying, quote, 'He's paid by MPP to travel the country to confuse people,' end quote, and, quote, 'He works for Normal, who pays him to spread lies,' end quote. For the record, I don't work for any of those organizations. Don't receive any money from them. I did used to work for Normal, and that ended in 2012. I continued writing. To his credit, Saunders chided his fellow NoOn 64 panelists for the insults. And yeah, that was the experience. And I've posted that video. You can check it out at hightimes.com. Just look for Fear and Loathing in Sacramento. So if you're shocked that medical marijuana proponents would team up with a group that would repeal Prop 215 if they could, don't be. Many people stand to lose a lot of money if Prop 64 passes and ends the status quo of permission slip quasi-legal medical marijuana. And it just so happens some of them are pot smokers. All right, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, it'll almost be time for our safety briefing. So let's get ourselves to the ads as quickly as we can, and we'll be right back.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
Hello?
Hey, are you the one that put the ad on Craigslist? It was in the personal section about, you know, want to have a little good time tonight?
No.
Nothing about, you know, any backdoor action?
No.
A little fifth base? You're not into that?
No, and I suggest you don't fucking call my phone number, you fucking perverted bastard.
Are you sure you're not the one on the Craigslist? You're talking dirty to me. Damn, she hung up.
That was good.
It was funny, though.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Yar, thar be pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Here, I come back to you, and I've only got 10 seconds to talk before we have to break for our safety meeting. I wouldn't want to piss off the union,
you know, Local 420 is really sticklers about this. So we got to make sure that we're following all the rules. Want to be safe. All right. There's the bell. Time for us to roll a fatty and take our safety briefing. Sorry, I had to do that extended rant. I had to get it all out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. We'll take a look at some of the opponents of Prop 64 and more opposition TV ads are out. We'll play them for you.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Lisa was an amazing girl.
She loved boating, photography, drama.
Nothing could stop the cancer.
She was only 17.
She had surgeries, hundreds of chemos, radiation. All they could do was try to make her feel better. We did lose Elise in September. It was horrific.
I don't know why anyone would choose to deny her relief by denying her access to medical marijuana.
Yes on Two is compassion for those still fighting.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour. Hope you had yourself a great safety briefing. Just picking up some of my notes from folks, checking out the chat room. And yeah, I got a request to strike that Stoner Jesus ad with the harassing phone call. Yeah, I understand. I get that. And I think I agree. So we'll get rid of that one. We've been talking about the exclusive I've posted up at weednews.co showing proof of collusion between the faction of medical marijuana patients, providers, advocates, and so forth who oppose Proposition 64 with Kevin Sabet and Project Sam, the people who would repeal all medical marijuana laws if they could. They're banding together for a series of press conferences Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday throughout California to tout their shared opposition to Proposition 64. And it's important to remember that Project Sam is an organization that is doing the bidding of the opponents of marijuana, the pharmaceutical corporations, the rehabs, the prisons, the cops, and so forth. And my friend Diane Goldstein, one of the board members from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, has done some work on this, has done some study on this. And in Raw Story last week, I believe it was on Wednesday, she published a story entitled How Our Tax Dollars Are Used to Fund Opposition to Marijuana Legalization.
And she points out how the pharmaceutical, alcohol, and prison food industries are all listed as donors to opposing marijuana legalization initiatives across the country. But the sad part is how our taxpayer dollars are being used to help them. Now, if someone wants to oppose legalization, a Sheldon Adelson or a Julie Shaw or any of these people, and want to throw money at it and express themselves with, that's their First Amendment right. They can do that. That's fantastic. But I got to draw the line when it comes to our taxpayer dollars being used for this. You and I didn't agree to this. So what Goldstein found in this article is that the anti-marijuana nonprofits like Project SAM and the government-funded high-intensity drug trafficking agencies, the community drug-free organizations, are misdirecting, misusing, and unethically using the taxpayer dollars to fight these marijuana legalization initiatives. Now, she points out that the California Narcotics Officers Association is one of the groups that's opposed to Prop 64. And in their handouts, in their information packets they give out, they have been using taxpayer dollars. According to the report, the narcotics officers with the Correctional Supervisors Organization, that's prison guards, Peace Officers Research Association, that's another like a union, cop union, along with the CPCA, CNOA, and the Los Angeles Police Officers Association, according to the California State Lobbying Reports, these five, and there's many others, but just these five, have spent a combined total of $9.5 million, both direct and indirect taxpayer dollars, on lobbying since 2001. They'll be pretty close to $10 million by the end of the legislative session. Now, not all of that is lobbying for the maintenance of prohibition, but a lot of it is. The high-intensity drug trafficking areas, this is part of the Drug Czar's Office, Office of National Drug Control Policy. They are grant-funded. They get their money from taxpayers. And these HIDTAs, H-I-D-T-As, were established in the 1990s. When they were established, their budget was $25 million. It's grown today to almost $200 million, $194 million. They're governed by federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies and prosecutors that facilitate interagency drug control efforts and so forth. But they are employees who are working in connection with federally financed activities. Therefore, they are subject to the federal and state laws that restrict or ban political activity through the use of the taxpayer dollars. Now, nationwide, there are 737 of these HIDTAs. And they do abstinence-only education. They do the DARE programs in the schools. They do the marijuana eradication when they fly their helicopters out and they pull up plants in the woods and so forth. But since we've legalized in four states, the latest thing they've been doing is writing up these scaremongering reports that cherry-pick data and misrepresent it to try to frighten people about how the sky is falling in Colorado and Washington and Oregon and Alaska. Reason's Jacob Sullum, a great writer out there at Reason.com, he's been following along on this and detailed how these HIDTAs are misdirecting and misreporting the facts about legalization in Colorado. Their first report came out after Colorado legalized in 2012, and summarizing that, Jacob Sullum wrote, quote, "Since suppressing the use of marijuana and other illegal drugs is the agency's mission, its reports on legalization are indictments masquerading as objective assessments. The same organization that last year falsely claimed public support for legalization had declined in Colorado this year portrays a governor who sounds cautiously optimistic about legalization as unambiguously against it," end quote. Some other things that they've done in their graphs, there's a one that they put out that shows this huge change in how kids are using marijuana. And to make the change seem huge, the y-axis of the graph runs a range of just like, you know, 5% and doesn't start at zero. It starts like at you know, where the data starts. So what is really statistically this tiny little slope, when you magnify that that y-axis, becomes this huge mountain, looks like this major problem. These kind of statistical sleights of hand and graphics tricks are part of what these HITA reports do. And this is coming from our taxpayer dollars. Now, Goldstein, to get more information on this, she went and joined some of these organizations, the California High-Intensity Drug Trafficking and the CADFI, which is Californians for Drug-Free Youth, and she made donations to them of $1 to be able to see where the money's coming back from. Like, who's taking this donation? How is it getting processed? And when she sent that $1 donation to CADFI, the receipt that she got through PayPal came from a government-issued address. So the money that she was donating is supposed to be to the anti-drug organization, the money that's supposed to be federally funded, we are finding now, is being misdirected by these government employees. Now, we can't get much more information on this because Project Sam has not yet filed a federal 990 tax return. This is your nonprofit reporting. Okay. They've been around since January 2013, and they have yet to file any 990s online. Now, I don't know if they've actually filed them with the government, with the IRS, but as far as posting them online, can't find them. Now, I can find you the IRS 990s for Drug Policy Alliance, for Normal, for MPP, for SSDP, for ASA, for LEAP, for Marijuana Majority. I can find all of these 990s for everyone else in drug reform. Why do you suppose that the prohibitionists don't want us to know who's funding them? Why do you suppose they want to keep their 990s secret and not have us have the ability to determine who's funding them? That sounds odd. You'd think they'd be proud. Now, in April 2015, Project Sam had formed a spinoff called Sam Action. Sam Action's a political action committee because when you're a 501c3 like Project Sam, there's a limit on your money and how you can use it as far as lobbying goes. A 501c4 isn't subject to those same restrictions. And this is a common thing. I mean, Normal's got this. Normal's got Normal, the 501c3, and Normal Foundation, the 501c4. So this is a very common thing. Now, Sam Action, the political action committee, has formed a committee, a PAC, called Committee Against Proposition 64 with Help from Citizens. They've been making donations. And since it's a 501c4, Sam Action can't take charitable tax deductions. Like, if I donate my money to Sam Action, I can't write that off on my taxes as charity because it's lobbying money. It's being used to lobby the government. That's not a charity, right? Now, CADFI, the anti-drug people in California, can donate to Sam Action, CADFI can donate to Project Sam because that's a charitable purpose, but CADFI can't donate to Sam Action because that's not a charity. CADFI, remember, this is all their federal grant money, right? So if they want to take some of that federal grant money, donate it to Project Sam, that's cool. They can't take their federal grant money and donate it to Sam Action for the purposes of lobbying. And this is something, you know, Goldstein's got experience with. She's done 501Cs and 501C3s and 4s. Well, according to federal 990 tax records for CADFI, they've been making direct donations to Sam since 2013. Also, in 2015, CADFI sponsored a poll on Colorado and whether or not the people there were still supportive of legalization. She thought that was a little weird that why would CADFI, a California organization, sponsor a poll in Colorado? Turns out that Kevin Sabet was using this, of course, to, you know, point out that, oh, Colorado's gone to hell, but forgot to mention that CADFI was the fiduciary agent of Sam and raised over $234,000 for Sam. So again, commingling this money, kind of blurring the lines between what is and isn't allowed with taxpayer money. Now, because of this arrangement, the way they've got it set up, we can't really see how they're doing this. How are they blending the money that's going for Project Sam versus Sam Action? But there is currently an investigation going on. The state campaign watchdog is looking into allegations that Sam Action has violated the campaign laws by failing to properly register and report its contributions. Now, again, they haven't filed this information in a timely manner for this campaign when we could actually look it up and make use of it when it would be politically relevant before the legalization vote happens. They're dragging their feet to make sure that that information's not up there. And again, those of us on our side, we're pretty forthcoming with our information. We'll let you know who's funding us. We'll put our information out there. What is it that Project Sam has to hide? I would speculate that, again, it's this commingling of federal tax money, of anti-drug tax money that is being misused for these purposes. Now, in 2015, Goldstein donated another dollar to CADFI, got a PayPal receipt with a different address, this one coming from Project Sam. She theorizes that the difference between 2013 and 2015 is that they realized that, if we leave that government address on there, they might recognize that we're breaking the rules. So that's an idea of who Letitia Pepper and some of these medical marijuana profiteers are standing with, using your taxpayer dollars to lobby you to vote to keep yourself a criminal. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back with some of the new anti and pro ads on the airwaves.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Paul's doing good work.
It's Mike Craig, you're a poontang, if I can use a medical term.
Yes, the New England Medical Journal.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Well, you can call me Dr. St. Paul now.
Dr. St. Paul.
I don't think I will.
No. you wouldn't even qualify to be a vet.
I'm a special kind of vet. I make them less lonely.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a duck. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Almost 40 after the hour here as we wind up our show for this great Monday. We're 15 days away from Marijuana Election Night 2016, and it's just getting hectic as hell. We're reaching out to Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom in California to see if we can get him on the program for election night. Looks like we've gotten my congressman, Earl Blumenauer, signed up to join us. So we got a lot of great stuff coming up. If you've got any questions, just send me an email. I'm Radical Russ on everything, and that includes Gmail. RadicalRuss@gmail.com. Be glad to hear from you and give you more info. Now, we've been covering this marijuana election for 2016 and the fight on the airwaves between those of us who propose reform and those of us who oppose reform. Various ads going out from the pro and the anti side, and I've been subscribing to their YouTube channels to give you the latest ads as they're posted. These are video ads for the most part, but most of them have some pretty good audio that we can work with. Let's start with this one. This is a yes on two. This is a pro ad. This is a four question two. I think that's the Nevada one that we're talking about here. A yes on two ad that touts the jobs that can be created through the legalization of marijuana. Let's give this one a quick listen.
My family and I built our life here in Nevada because of all that it offers. But when we have the sixth highest unemployment rate in the nation, and we're dead last when it comes to education, we have a problem. Not only would Yes on Two create more than 6,000 jobs, it would mean more than $20 million to our schools every single year, and gives people struggling with pain more treatment options. More jobs and better schools, Yes on Two, it just makes sense.
There we go. Jobs, jobs, jobs is the title of that particular ad. The Yes on Two campaign has a pretty vibrant website going on up there at on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe that. Give them some love. Also, we've got another ad here. This is the the Yes on Prop 205 campaign. That would be the Arizona campaign, giving us ideas about what regulation of marijuana is really about.
To me, Prop 205 means taking marijuana out of the criminal market and putting it in the hands of licensed tax-paying businesses.
Creating rules for testing and labeling marijuana so consumers know what they're getting.
Generating millions of dollars in tax revenue for K-12 education.
Law enforcement will be able to focus on more serious crimes.
It's time for a more sensible approach.
Healthier citizens.
Better schools.
Safer communities.
It's time to regulate and tax marijuana.
Please vote yes on Prop 205.
So great ad out there for Arizona's Prop 205. Now, all these ads that we're getting on the pro side, very professionally made, very mainstream, you know, soccer mom types that are going to appeal to a broad demographic. Pardon the unintended pun there. But the anti ads are a little weird. Most of them focus on the same scary talking points that we hear from Kevin Sabet. But this group out of Nevada, the No on Question 2 people in Nevada, put up a strange pair of videos. They put one up last week, and now they got this new one up. And it's a riff on the bit that Jimmy Kimmel does on his late night talk show about mean tweets. You may have seen celebrities read mean tweets where, you know, somebody famous reads some of the terrible things people say about him on Twitter. Using this same idea, the No on Question 2 people have their second video out entitled Kids Read Mean Tweets from Pot Advocates.
This post is by Andrew. Then they would shut up for about an hour. They wouldn't die. This is not in any way a health risk.
At Dinky Doe says, give kids pot cookies.
At Chelsea Leifler, I like to smoke pot and play with my little kids.
At ARP did 9/11, you still haven't killed yourselves yet.
At Steely, your dad said, can't wait to smoke weed with my kids someday.
Now, I left that tag on the end of there just to give you an idea, the lousy production value that these anti-marijuana campaigners are exhibiting. I mean, just the microphone sound, the air noise there, simple stuff that even a podcaster like me can handle. And yet they're putting that out as some sort of professional way to fight marijuana legalization. And to me, it's kind of funny because their title is Kids Read Mean Tweets from Pot Advocates, as if the people that they're reading from have any sort of power or influence in the drug reform movement. They're just reading tweets from random nobodies. My apologies to the people quoted, but really, I mean, they're not. This is not Ethan Nadelman or Mason Tvert or Alan St. Pierre or Keith Stropp or me or Marijuana Majority or anybody who is an actual advocate, an actual activist. None of us are that. They're taking tweets off of the internet from just average pot smokers that have little to no understanding of the public relations or the framing of the issue. What these tweets are all responding to is the scaremongering that we hear from the prohibitionists about the pot cookies and the pot brownies and the pot gummy bears. And I understand what these the senders of these tweets are trying to say. They're saying, look, if your kid gets into the pot gummies or the pot cookies, they're not going to die. They're going to experience some discomfort. You're going to have to, you know, watch them for a couple of hours, help them relax. But it's not the end of the world. It's not, they're not going to die. They're not going to suffer any long-term problems from this. But that's a difficult thing to frame properly. And of course, these folks not having any public training or not being public personas in any way are just kind of expressing themselves like how stupid it is to get worried about this, to have a national panic over 47 kids who went to an emergency room in 2015 for Colorado for eating edibles, when we get like 47,000 nationwide that are going to emergency rooms for eating Tide laundry pods. It just seems like we have some selective outrage over what it is the kids are getting into. The marijuana that 0.0000x% of them got into that made them upset for a couple hours, but they're fine, versus 1,000 times more kids getting into a toxic laundry detergent that can kill them. But nobody's talking about putting the Tide laundry pods in childproof containers that can't be colorful and have to be slapped with big warnings on them, and you have to show ID to buy them. Nobody's talking about that. Oh, but the gummy bears. Oh, my God, the pot gummy bears. We got to worry about that. And of course, these Nevada people, they're just trying to use these mean tweets, these uninformed cannabis consumers, cannabis advocates, to try to portray the movement as being unfeeling and uncaring about the issue of child accidental ingestions. Look, we're all about safety and security of cannabis products. That's why we do what we do. We're tired of buying bags in parking lots that might be adulterated with dirt or glass sprayed on them or lead. I've read stories of people getting bags that had little crumbs of lead in them to try to weigh them down. Lead that unlike marijuana, can actually cause permanent IQ loss. Those are the effects of the prohibition market, not knowing what you're getting in your bag, no quality control, adulteration, spiking, contaminants, pesticides, all sorts of stuff that we use legalization to combat. Now, we had the report from Oregon Health Authority, of course, recently, a McMinnville dispensary had a batch of some pesticide-laden products. We've heard some of that in Washington State. We've got a couple reports coming out of Colorado, and the prohibitionists want to seize on that. They go, see, legalization didn't change a thing. See, you're still getting awful contaminated products. No, we're finally finding them. That's the difference. We're finally finding them. You can't be upset in prohibition about the existence of tainted products and then try to rail against the legalization that's rooting them out. We want that as much as anybody does. We want to have good products. We want to kick out the bad actors. That's one of the things I'm most excited about legalization, is ending this criminal outlaw kind of mentality, this fuck the man anarchy type mindset this idea that government and capitalism and regulations and profit are inherently evil or inherently bad or inherently incompetent or corrupt. Not to say that some aren't. Of course, there is some of that in every type of organization. But by and large, regulation works. Marijuana regulation and taxation works. We haven't seen the uptick in kids using. We've seen a continued decrease in auto fatalities. The marijuana dependence rate remains steady. States are pulling in tens of millions of tax dollars. Jobs are being created. Economies are increasing. Housing prices are rising. Housing values, I guess we could say. None of the Chicken Little sky is falling fears are coming true. And the prohibitionists know this. And that's why someone like Kevin Sabet is so desperate. He's willing to reach out to the bat shittiest crazies in the marijuana movement. And it's interesting because this the press release that Zinsmeister was writing up, it was supposed to go out today. It was dated for today. And I still haven't seen it go across my news feeds. I keep refreshing on samaction.net to see if they've managed to put that out yet, but nothing so far. So far, they still seem to be keeping this on the down low. Now, it could be that over the weekend, as Zinsmeister was putting it together, and I'm just speculating here. I have no real knowledge of this. But I speculate that Zinsmeister put this together, Sabet started getting these responses from Pepper, started seeing some of the names coming across. And, well, Kevin Sabet's not a dummy. I'll give that to him. He's an intelligent man. And he's also a longtime government policy wonk. He's been in the White House. He's been a part of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. So I imagine that he's got a pretty decent grasp on the concept of vetting. That you got to vet the people that you might want to work with. And I'm betting that over the weekend, as he started doing some Googling on Letitia Pepper, he may have come across my writing on her and how just last week, just last Wednesday, she was comparing medical marijuana to the lynching that happened under Jim Crow. I'm betting that Kevin Sabet got a look at the list of some of these people and went, ah, no, they're even too batshit crazy for me. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up on this Monday and give you a look at the rest of the week.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Raising money for our schools isn't the only reason to regulate and tax marijuana, but it's a good reason.
Being a mother of a special needs child, I know that there's financial deficiencies in our school.
Schools need every dollar they can get.
Regulating and taxing marijuana would generate tens of millions of dollars for Arizona schools.
I'm a mom, I'm a grandmother,
and I'm a public school teacher.
And I'm voting yes on Prop 205.
It's time to regulate and tax marijuana like alcohol in Arizona.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com. Okay, maybe you're high too. Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Rush Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Dear listeners out there informed me that when I did the segment on ads, that the ads weren't playing over the stream. My apologies, lots of settings here on the laptop, and I just missed that one. So let me play those for you. This is the one from the Kids Read Mean Tweets from Pot Advocates, and I'll keep my eye open here and make sure that it's playing throughout the stream. Man, one of these days I'll have like a real studio and like actual engineers and stuff, and this will work much better. Let's give this a shot, see if it plays.
This post is by Andrew. Then they would shut up for about an hour. They wouldn't die. This is not in any way a health risk.
At Dinky Doe says, give kids pot cookies.
At Chelsea Lee Floor, I like to smoke pot and play with my little kids.
At ARP did 9/11, you still haven't killed yourselves yet.
As Julia, dad said, can't wait to smoke weed with my kids someday.
All right, so that's the Kids Read Mean Tweets. And the part that really cracks me up about that one is the one that's trying to scare us that folks might want to smoke weed and then play with kids. I'm telling you, being high and playing with kids is one of the greatest things ever. It's wonderful. You can get right into their level, man. You can really enjoy what's going on. I would recommend it to anyone. The fear they're trying to make it like you're going to be the babysitter and you're going to be so high that they're going to get hurt. And you're not going to be able to help them. And it's just another bit of scaremongering. That one at the end where the guy says, I can't wait to be able to smoke weed with my kids someday, could very well be talking about when he turns 21, we could smoke weed together. You know, like some parents like to drink a beer with their kid. Let's go to something more sensible. This is the Nevada Yes On Question 2, the new ad from them touting the jobs created by legalization.
My family and I built our life here in Nevada because of all that it offers. But when we have the sixth highest unemployment rate in the nation and we're dead last when it comes to education, we have a problem. Not only would Yes On 2 create more than 6,000 jobs, it would mean more than $20 million to our schools every single year, and gives people struggling with pain more treatment options. More jobs and better schools, Yes On 2, it just makes sense.
Yeah, Nevada Question 2. And
hey, Dad.
And finally, sorry about that one. And finally, we've got one from Arizona. The Yes On Prop 205 has this campaign ad on the meaning of regulation.
To me, Prop 205 means taking marijuana out of the criminal market and putting in the hands of licensed tax-paying businesses.
Creating rules for testing and labeling marijuana so consumers know what they're getting.
Generating millions of dollars in tax revenue for K-12 education.
Law enforcement will be able to focus on more serious crimes.
It's time for a more sensible approach.
Healthier citizens.
Better schools.
Safer communities.
It's time to regulate and tax marijuana.
Please vote yes on Prop 205.
Arizona's Prop 205, that's their latest ad, and these ads are all available up on YouTube. You just have to do a little bit of searching, usually just put Yes On and then the name, or just marijuana, yes, and then the state, and you should probably be able to find them. If you have any difficulty, just email me. I'm radicalruss@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to get that information out to you. And the campaigns could also use your help. If you've got money to donate, or you've got time and a phone, you can do phone banking for these campaigns. Now, I'd recommend helping out Massachusetts. They're the ones with the lowest poll numbers right now. Second, I would help out Arizona. I think Nevada and Maine and California are pretty much in the bag. I'm pretty confident about them. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today. And we'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. We'll have another marijuana election night preview tomorrow and Wednesday. On Thursday, we've got Jorge Cervantes in our Cultivator's Corner, and Jay Timms will be joining us. And Friday, more on the marijuana election night. And this Friday night, I'm flying to Dallas, Texas. I'll be a part of the Dallas Marijuana March on Saturday. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seat, you're
you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.